Welcome to the newsroom. I'm Charlotte Gallagher.
The deal is a ceasefire, a negotiation. That's what we give. And what they give is the straits are going to be reopened. If we don't see that happening, the president is not going to abide by our terms if the Iranians are not abiding by their terms.
We'll get the latest on the ceasefire between the US and Iran, with it appearing under strain already. We hear from a doctor in Lebanon as officials say more than 250 people have been killed in Israeli attacks over the past 24 hours.
There were sisters who we treated whose bodies have been riddled with shrapnel. There was a 7-year-old girl who was cold, crying, wailing, calling out for her mum and dad.
And the serial killer who targeted women for decades is finally brought to justice.
This defendant walked among us, play-acting as a normal suburban dad, when in reality, all along, he was obsessively targeting innocent women for death.
BBC News with Chris Barrow. Lebanon civil defence authorities say the most intense day of Israeli strikes on the country since the start of the Iran war has killed more than 250 people and wounded more than 1,100. Israel carried out 100 separate strikes in a 10-minute period alone, saying it was aiming at Hezbollah targets. Images showed massive damage to residential areas. Doctors described hospitals overrun with wounded civilians. This Beirut resident described how he felt seeing the destruction.
There is no word to describe how we're feeling right now. Just devastated, you know, nothing more, honestly.
No warnings, no whatsoever. We're just living by our days normally, and we hear of 6 or 7 explosions in Beirut. It was really devastating, honestly.
The Bekaa Valley and the south of the country were also hit. This followed the announcement of the Iran war ceasefire, which Israel denies covers Lebanon. The French president, Emmanuel Macron, has led condemnation of Israel's massive bombardment of Lebanon. He described the attacks as indiscriminate. Earlier, the Spanish prime minister, Pedro Sanchez, a staunch critic of Israel, said the attacks showed the Israeli leaders' intolerable disregard for life and international law. Iran has accused the US of violating the ceasefire deal by allowing Israel's war in Lebanon against Hezbollah to continue. The Speaker of the Iranian Parliament said several clauses of Iran's proposed peace plan had been broken and it was unreasonable to expect negotiations under such conditions. Here's our correspondent Tom Bateman on whether the ceasefire will hold.
Things are looking increasingly unlikely, frankly. I mean, this is a ceasefire in force, but now a battle of wills between the US and Iran. And that battle of wills is over Lebanon. This death toll at the lowest end, as it's reported by Lebanese officials, is 15 times the number of Americans that have been killed in the totality of this war. That's in a single day. So what the Iranians are saying now is that they won't reopen the Strait of Hormuz unless the Israelis stop attacking Lebanon. What they're trying to do there is get Donald Trump to pick up the phone to Benjamin Netanyahu and tell him to stop. Now, there is no sign of that happening.
For its part, Washington has insisted Lebanon was never included in the ceasefire. The head of NATO, Mark Rutte, says he's had a frank discussion with Donald Trump after the US president expressed disappointment with the alliance over his war on Iran. Earlier, the White House press secretary said President Trump believed NATO members failed by not coming to his support and he would discuss leaving the alliance. Mr. Rutte said he'd pointed out many European nations had been helpful with logistics and overflight. Turkey says it's arrested nearly 200 people over Tuesday's gun battle outside the Israeli consulate in Istanbul. One man was shot dead by police as he approached the building. The justice minister said security forces had launched raids across the country, targeting people associated with the Islamic State group. World news from the BBC. The interim president of Venezuela, Delcy Rodriguez, has vowed to not repeat errors of the past in a message to the nation focused on improving the economy. Ms. Rodriguez said her priorities were increasing salaries responsibly while developing the oil and mining sectors. She said Venezuela wouldn't go back to hyperinflation and mass emigration. The Gambia has appointed a special prosecutor to investigate crimes committed during the 22-year rule of the country's former dictator, Yahya Jammeh, who's now living in exile. The British lawyer, Martin Hackett, will investigate hundreds of killings and kidnappings committed by the state, as well as torture and other abuses. Thomas Nardi reports.
Martin Hacker's appointment follows recommendations by the Truth, Reconciliation and Reparations Commission, which concluded its inquiries into Jammeh-era abuses. The commission called for criminal accountability and reparations. The cases will be prosecuted before the High Court in Banjul, while significant and cross-border crimes will be referred to the ECOWAS Special Tribunal for the Gambia. Some perpetrators have already been convicted abroad under the principle of universal jurisdiction in Germany and US.
The United States says it's allowing its diplomats to leave the Nigerian capital as security deteriorates in the country. The State Department said it was authorizing the departure of non-emergency US government employees from the embassy in Abuja. US citizens are advised to reconsider travel to Nigeria due to risks including civil unrest, kidnapping and armed gangs. The award-winning Scottish photographer and wildlife cameraman Doug Allen has died at the age of 74. A trained biologist and diver, he worked closely with the naturalist David Attenborough on some of his most famous scenes, including on the documentary series Blue Planet and Frozen Planet. And that's the latest world news from the BBC.